feel that.
Thank you. Yes,
really good
thank
in my
you.
Head.
Yeah, you
and,
did.
And
that was
not recorded.
Really well, yeah, thank you. So sorry. So welcome to the Computer Vision Persistence and Service team meeting for June 5. We are talking about a couple of things. We are on the agenda for the June 11 TSC, so we're preparing for that next week and cleaning up some of the slides that we're going to be presenting. and also the same, roughly the same slides that will be used also at the virtual face-to-face. And Tony just had this amazing epiphany with words, which unfortunately we didn't record, but I'm trying to capture it in another way. So I think what we want to do is maybe have an agenda that talks about the model-driven POC in R7 and way forward in R8.
But we also, in the R7, we're also supporting the use cases that are needing us.
Right. And
I mean, that's even more almost important. Yeah.
We're in R7. Sure. And then answers the TSC questions.
Essentially, our proposal from the previous time is being modified slightly.
Right. Okay. So actually, you know what? Maybe we want to do this then. Let's yank out this. Let's yank out this question thing and put the roadmap
front
here.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I think that would be.
Up front and central, and then talk about the.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Tony, the question in here for you, like to come to it very close. For the model driven, you're going to, you just a high level, so you will have a new model. How do you define model driven in the R7?
Okay. So the POC is there to prove that we can bring in models. It's also to give us time to socialize with architecture and the modeling subcommittee to understand how the ONAP information model will be enhanced to support models that aren't part of the information model but actually come from the XNS or other places. So that's the modeling subcommittee side. The architecture subcommittee side is, okay, how does model-driven work in this perspective? Who's allowed to add new models to the system? How will models be added to the system at runtime? And then from the CMPS perspective on the code side, how do we change the capabilities of the CMPS when a new model is added? So if we model, if we add a model that represents cells, is a subset, for example, and this is just an example, a subset of the 3GPP that Ben has shown on numerous occasions. So if we take that as an example, how would that be added at runtime to the CMPS, to a running CMPS that would then allow controllers or some other elements of the SAN use case to make use of that data, to store additional values and to read values based on that without having to restart. So it's to prove those, to socialize and understand technically what's appropriate in the architecture subcommittee, how from a modeling perspective to handle the delivery of these models and the deployment of these models. And then technically, how do we actually do this at runtime, both within the CMPS and also with the clients of the CMPS, to be able to read and write data that has been defined by a model, that is compliant to a model that is delivered at runtime. So those are the three big aspects that I see that we need to get through with this model-driven POC. The architecture side, the modeling subcommittee side, and actually some hands-on code on the ground that will do this. And for me, the big aim here is always to try and port this into the, because this is a POC, it's not officially part of the ONA production code, but if we can change the implementation, if we get far enough in the POC to actually push that implementation into the GUILIN code base as part of the existing CNPS implementation, then that will help us in terms of migration going forward in Honolulu and beyond, in terms of migration and compatibility. So that's where I see it.
Tony, the initial proposal to say yes, the flow is still didn't change, right? Let's talk about model. The model we assume, say the R7, the model, like it says, the YAN model come from vendor provide one model, right? Onboarding and distribute to the downstream application. So the new pack, yeah. The pack you have in here, right? So the new model you have here, say you put the YAN model to based on the YAN model, you put a relay like a input, like a, you know, data model in the change the SDC, or you just say we already had the in the production in the, you know, in our develop this model, then you use
it. Just specifically on that one, I'm expecting that a YAN model will be deployed as part of the CSAR by SDC, and that the configuration and persistency service will pick up the fact that a new CSAR has been deployed, that there was a relevant YAN model in it, and adapt as a result of that.
So the basically you say you so your team already changed the YAN model, mapped the YAN model to the CSAR in the SDC, in that the conceptualize for the prototype.
I mean, none of this is yet agreed with anybody, really. I mean, how the ONAP information model will be extended, because anything that's pretty much anything that's in the CSAR is understood and modeled by the ONAP information model. So how do we do this in a sympathetic way? So that's how we have to work with the modeling guys. So right now, what I'm saying is an assumption that the YAN model will be bundled as part of the CSAR. So it'll be available to something within the configuration persistency service that will say, there's something interesting in the CSAR. I understand the YAN model. I'd like to be able to allow my customers to store data that is compliant to that YAN model.
Yeah, but the Tony, right, the currently the predefined like dependency, right? The YAN model distributed to the initial proposal, the open chain, the YAN model distributed to the post in the DMAP. That's on the pre-onboarding package. They distribute the YAN model, then the CNPS pick up or the SDNC pick up, right? This model, then put this model to the CNPS. You receive the YAN model, then based on the internal schema design to mapping the database, the schema. But I'm just trying to verify when you receive the YAN, it's the YAN model you receive. It's now the
okay, let's be clear, Joanne. What do you mean by YAN model?
YAN model just basically when the network elements YAN model, that's structured in the hierarchy way. It sees our
okay,
file.
So it is not defining the data, just the structure of the data. So no data instances. Then we're actually talking about the same thing. So I mean, in traditional terms, for a SQL database, that would mean a SQL schema.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So how do we update the schema of the CNPS with a new YAN model that has been contributed as part of a vendor package?
Okay.
That's the question.
Yeah. So the basic is the YAN structure to based on YAN structure based scheme. It's now based on the CSAR structure. That's what I'm trying. The two concepts. Once you receive the YAN structure.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. But the CSAR is essentially it's an archive. It's a cloud native. It's a cloud archive.
Okay.
And it contains a lot of things, including upgrade packages, software packages, images, all kinds of wonderful stuff. but it also, all of that structure is modeled in the ONAP information model.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when the vendor, we have things called vendor package descriptions, that's the VNFDs. But what we're talking about, this Yang model is kind of a VNFD, but it's not a VNFD. Mm-hmm. So I want to understand with the modeling subcommittee exactly how that's going to fit in. With a view specifically to, okay, yes, now we have a structure of information that may or may not be present on a subset of the XNS in the network. Wonderful. So next thing after that, how can we make sure that we can persist data that is compliant to that in ONAP? And then secondly, how can we read that in a type-safe way? So how can the clients of the CNPS make use of that data, write that data, read that data, validate that data potentially?
Tony, we just make sure when we present the pack, right, the things, we submit the architecture committee already approved. So we use the existing, Yen structure, the package, when the package distribute, we can, based on the Yen package tree structure, to define the schema. If you say we
define the
CSAR file, you make things.
We use the CSAR structure. We use the CSAR structure to find the CSAR structure and the ONAP information model to find the vendor Yang model.
So if I can, we can have how the package is defined is clear in ONAP, the onboarded package. So we can, we have defined a non-ETSI manual identifier inside that identify the exactly a directory inside the package with the Yang model. So we can provide this type of information and share this information.
Thank you, Michaela, I wasn't aware. But that's exactly what we need to do. So the location of that file is very important if it's going to be delivered by CSAR, but also the ONAP information model is important to understand how that fits in. That there is a Yang model that will be delivered by vendors that isn't really part of the ONAP information model, but is associated with it. And will ultimately extend the data model, ONAP's data model, in compliance with the ONAP information model. I know that's a lot of words.
Yeah, well, I understand how useful. So the things, right, receive the Michaela, just make sure the CPS receive is the Yen structure, the CSAR package, but the CSAR, the CSAR in terms of SDC modeling, inside the modeling, like I said, we will not change, right? We won't touch the modeling work.
No. I'm saying just that there is a clearer way to identify where the Yang files will be inside the onboarding package, as well as in the CSAR package provided by SDC. So we can provide this, we can document this in order that it will be clear. We have defined this in the previous release when we are working on the package. And this package will be valid both for VNF and and PNF.
Yeah.
Now we can also work to ensure that it will work also for CNF, but I mean, there are key, we have identified some, we call this a non-ETSI manual identifier. That and we have a specific identifier that is mainly a tag that is inside the file that is defines the path of where you have to look for your Yang files.
The Yang file, the identifier will be distributed. I'm trying to receive distributed for the CNPS Michaela, right? To receive the identifier, whatever your identifier. That identified a true data file. That file will be Yen file. It's not a CSAR file, right?
Yes. Inside the CSAR at the end, inside the CSAR package, you can have directly your Yen files for each network function that is involved in the service. Okay. So the Caesar package is distributed for a service type, if you want. Mm-hmm. And inside there are all the artifacts for each network function type that is involved in that service. So you can look for inside the Caesar package, you can look for the young files that actually are associated to the onboarded artifact. Yeah. So maybe we can provide a slide for next time to explain how to do this.
But that's the, that's considered as an existing capability. It's new. It's an existing capability, right?
An existing, yes, absolutely. It's existing. It's already existing.
Okay. Sorry, I'm having fun with PowerPoint here.
It's looking very good. I don't object at all.
Okay, all right. So what I suggest is actually, I'll start off with the agenda here, and looking at it, it's very tight, right? So I think what we're gonna say is let's hold off on all questions, and we're happy to hold a Q&A, separate Q&A session at a later date due to the tight time. Because I think if anybody just starts asking questions, we'll never get anywhere.
And we have had the two sessions, and I think you can refer to those two sessions.
Yes. Right.
Also, the slight change in proposal as well gives, I think, reason enough to do that.
Right. Yep. Good. Thanks. We can mention that we've had two. And we're
having a session.
We're happy to hold a follow-up meetings, I think. So I think we're just going to have to say follow-up meetings.
Can be arranged on request.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll just have follow-up meetings. Say the use case realization call, the CNPS team call.
Yeah.
And on demand. Okay. So. All right, I think, you know, just looking at it, it'll take, I think, to really give it justice, it'll probably take 10 minutes to go over the POC, and then we'll spend some time talking about the roadmap, maybe 5 to 8 minutes. Maybe this is too ambitious. So we have, and then maybe 11 minutes for the answers. If we fly through the slides, of course, we can probably do it faster, but I think to just to go over.
Yeah, that just causes confusion, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's about a minute per each of these topics, so I think that's good. Okay, lots of great suggestions. Anything else on the slides that... Let me just emphasize that we're doing something probably at a later date here. Okay. All right. So I think this is the most of the time will be spent on the we're giving 3 minutes for the overview, just maybe 2.5 minutes here, 30 seconds here, and then we have each, about 5 minutes on each of these slides. And then, what would we say, five, six minutes on the overview here. Okay, and let's see, I think. All right. Okay, great. Let me save this off and I'll put it up in today's notes and everything. Okay. Let's see. So we've talked about the slides. Again, if you haven't signed up for the DDF, you should register. we'll be mentioned briefly at Vimal and I were presenting the 5G PNF. So we'll briefly mention CMPS here. We'll mention the POC, of course, in this overview, and I'll mention that there's a deeper dive if you're interested in a full deep dive into the POC, that there's a deep dive session happening as well. Okay. So while we have Fred on the call, actually, Fred, did you want to mention, is Verizon planning any kind of POC or something for the brownfield inventory stuff that might use CMPS? We're listing basically usages of CMPS, model-driven POC, those PCI use case. Fred and I are due to meet on Monday to talk maybe a little bit more, but I think Verizon is looking at this brownfield installation of inventory management, which is an interesting problem, right? So I don't know.
I guess we had touched upon it earlier, and then we try to get some mileage out of the work that was going on, our attention of the folks in the I&I team, but schedules never aligned. So to make a long story short, there are a lot of inventory systems that are being used today to go straight to the I&I topology. Is a very aggressive and time consuming effort, and so we're just trying to see if there was an evolution path that was feasible, because typically there are many inventory and topology systems that need to be aggregated in order to use this unified structure for inventory and topology. And then we're just wondering if there was some channel to accelerate that process, but I guess we really haven't had a lot of progress made since the idea was first presented, even though there was some interest expressed. So
I mean, it's definitely a problem that needs to be solved, and I don't know to what degree CMPS would be involved, but it's something that we need to, if it's completely solved by ANAI, that's fine. If not, then we should also see how CMPS would be involved.
It was seen that that this project would be a mitigating factor to help create that evolution path, but we never got anywhere.
Yeah, so I think we should try to move that forward. You had also mentioned stuff about golden parameter, stuff that you gave a presentation a long time ago.
Well, that's really what this is, right? The whole, what your work is an extension of, right? It's being able to have the configuration up to date and accurate. But then there's also other things that can come of that as well, besides configuration or state, even. Well, the idea is, to push just the deltas and do that effectively. And that can apply to many different principles.
Sure. Okay. All right, so let's meet next week, and once we arrange a time, I'll open the invitation to others as well who might want to attend. And then when we make progress there, we can bring it back to this group as well to discuss more. Once we settle on a time, I'll invite Jimmy Forsyth, the ANA PTL, to see if he can join. And otherwise, you know, we can have some initial discussions. Vimal and I know Joanne are in our time zone, so that you know, that might help too, and Ted. Okay, let's see. So M0 is rapidly approaching, and we want to make sure that all our I's are dotted and T's crossed for this project for M0. I'm just going to bring up our page here. Let's see. Okay, so one of the big things, of course, is this dashboard thing that they're using to track their release in. And we have our REQ for the project here, REQ 322. And Joanne suggested that we fill in some of the data copying the R6 work. So I said earlier in the week, let's bring it to the team so we can discuss this stuff. So let me just show you a example of what they're looking for. Where is it? Here. So for example, like the pre-onboarding use case, they kind of want this template where you have the project that's impacted, what kind of impact it is, what companies are working on, how many people are working on it. So this isn't quite exactly in that template yet. We probably need like companies, what do they say? Companies supporting. Number of developers, testers. Okay, so we just kind of need this information, I think, for each of these fields. Let me see. Oops. Shoot. And David McBride at the Use Case Realization Call this past Wednesday gave an overview of a whole bunch of things on the release management. And one of the things we did was we updated the REQ1 template. So now there was some confusion about how to fill out this stuff. And so I had him essentially modify the template so it's a little clearer per project component. You know, you're trying to fill stuff out. So, okay, so some of these are, this field is already filled in. We have test only, code impact.
Benjamin, but the DCA impact is not already covered by another requirement, that is the VES alignment. So why you have also here the code impact? I think you should just create a dependency.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I agree. I think that's
So, no, yeah, or maybe if you want, you can put a dependency if you remember the name of the release requirement.
I think you're, it's already mentioned here for,
There is a release requirement. If you want, I can look for it in the meanwhile. Let me check.
It's a dependency. We don't need this requirement, just type sound late. That's
it. Yes, right.
Don't even say requirement. I guess SDC just say test only.
Yeah.
So make it easier. So then it wouldn't have any work. It's on our control.
Yeah.
I think the ICC do the same thing, but just say text only. Don't even say any words. Because I want to put a banner flow there. Yeah.
Okay. You say, did you say CCSDK?
Top one, the SDC.
Oh, SDC, okay, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So then there's no word, basically.
Yeah.
So if the like a tester can do this, maybe we just put a Sami as our integration testing. Mm-hmm. He can do all the things for one, right?
Right. Swami is from, is he from?
Wipro.
I'd be in Wipro.
Wipro, yeah.
Okay, great. And we can list the requirement number for that. I don't know if we can think, try.
And the ANI, you can just take all the requirement off. So we don't, they don't need to do anything. Just type on like all out.
Yep. And I guess Sandeep is doing that too. Do we have him listed as our integrator? We have Swami listed as our integrator.
Yeah, he cannot do the yeah.
Oops.
So another girl, the Swami, and another person called Ricky something at the Sandeep may not know.
Oh yeah, Rishma, I think was her name. Let me see if I can find. Let me see. Did she ever attend our calls?
No, she's and the Swami just.
It's kind of hard to spell her name. Let me see if I can find it this way. It's like Rishma, something like that. Let me think.
Let me search to. The Swami name come up.
I can ask. I'll send an email. I'll do it separately. I'll just send an email out to see what the name was. Okay. So for SDC was test only, DCA test only. CCSDK was the code to ingest the information coming in from the CM event notification and be able to write into the database. So this is. This has sort of, and there's also the model-driven POC part here, but I think actually, Tony, you created a POC, did you create a POC ticket?
I did, but I missed the cutoff, so I have to appeal to the TSC to get it included in the Greenland.
I see, so. Okay, all right, okay. All right. So let's see. I guess.
So the CNPI is in the R7 the Ben.
Yeah.
So you do say the CNPS and you do say CCSDK parenthesis CNPS because we are part of the CCSDK in the R7 release.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So then you can merge.
We just have a bunch of people working on this, maybe 6, 7. And then for the CCSDK extension work, who is it, just Swami doing that, or are there other people doing that?
The CCSDK extension, it is a configured CNPS. It's a part of the CCSDK. So entirely the CCSDK SDNC, because we need to have the API between the SDNC to the CPS. Those things we need to be enhanced for the R7. So you can put the CNPS, this requirement, push it to the SDNC, merge it together as a CCSDK requirement, SDNC also separate.
I guess I'm asking who's working on it. Who do we expect to be working on this piece of it? We have a section on the CNPS work already.
Tony work on the piece supposedly, right? Tony? Commitment, right?
Yeah, the CNPS stuff. But I'm talking about the CCSDK internal.
But Benjamin, this type of things, if you look, I put in the chat the requirement for the SON. Okay. And there is already an EPIC that is associated to the SON release requirement about CCSDK.
Okay.
You can have a look if you want, but if you open the release requirement, the OF SON, I put in the chat. Okay. If you go down, you will see, go down. There is a list of EPIC.
Here's the person.
No, yeah, but
hold on, wait one second.
You can, because there is a specific. There is a specific. If you go down, there is the list of EPIC, and the EPIC there is exactly the one about CCSDK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there. You see CCSDK 2392. And if you open this, you can click on CCSDK. Okay, and here I think is exactly the same thing that we are speaking about, because it's a placeholder JIRA for any announcement for DMAP CM notify for Vest Collector.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, so let's just mention it's a dependency on CC2392. Great, thanks, Mikhail.
Or maybe.
No, let's see. The Sun workspace depend on us. That you don't got it wrong. The Sun, we are the Sun dependency. Don't go other way around. So the Shankar use case, just make sure you have to emphasize. So Mikhail just say the CC, the one we have, you don't put in there. Otherwise, we got the wrong message. The Sun use case, official define the claim. We are the dependency to some use case. So you can put the...
They're dependent on us, or we're dependent on them?
No, they depend on us. We are the dependency to that. So they, whatever development, even the slicing, they depend on with the one provide capability for them. So we are the dependency to...
But Jeanne, the development is on them. So
no,
because...
No, they had to make sure the development to the Sun use case, that they expect us to provide the Sun, like say the object capability to support.
Yeah, okay. Okay. But then maybe we should not even say here that we have an impact, because then this is not an impact for ConfigDB, but is an impact for the Sun use case.
Now, some use cases say they depend the configure DB. They wouldn't identify. They say impact, but the work will be depend on the configure DB.
I see the catch 22. So probably Michaela, this epic user story should probably be a link from our use case, not from their use case. I think.
Yeah, they link it to our use case. Yeah.
Why? I'm sorry, but for the Sun use case. So
well,
here we
Sun,
are doing
I,
the here
you,
we are
you,
doing the config
you,
DB. We are not doing.
Yeah. But if you attend the Sun, both Sun PCI calls, they Joanne is right. They do state that they are dependent on us and that
yeah, for the ConfigDB, but not for CCSDK.
Well, the original, the CMPS core work was done under CCSDK in R6 because we didn't have time to make a new separate project proposal. So maybe we should, let's talk to this with their team before we fill this out.
The way I already cleared, the sound, we already had it very clear. Don't need
to
modify. This is already clear. The one we have with the CCSDK, the
Let me pull back for a second. I mean, what is the purpose of this? So these tickets are input into the Gwilym release. Now, my understanding from the TSC yesterday is that the TSC members are looking at these and they're actually voting and they're using a whole bunch of criteria, based on the level of committed resources,
right,
the companies that are involved and a whole bunch of other things. And they're actually voting as to what is going to be in the scope of the Gwilym release and over the next couple of weeks. That's going to,
right,
to so that's the purpose of this. So now they're looking at this description and they're saying, well, what work is involved in this? How many impacts are? So they're probably using that to identify what are the risks. So the important information that we want to show them here is that the SON use case will be using the CCSDK in the R7 timeframe based on the implementation that's in the CCSDK. Mm. Now, I think Michaela's right that we can say, yes, I mean, we're not dependent on the SON use case. The SON use case is dependent on us, but we don't want to double cost. We don't want to say we have an impact. We have an impact. Wait, Joanne, let me finish. We have an impact to support the SON use case, and that is costed in this gyra, which is part of a different thing. So we don't want to double count. We don't want the TSC members to think that there's a double impact on us here, because then that makes us look not so healthy. But we do want to understand that actually this is a good thing and that other things are using us. So, that's the picture that I think the message that we should be trying to say here. So how we actually pitch that in this comment, I think it's important to mention it, and I don't think it's any harm to reference it. It's not saying that we have a dependency on it. It's saying that there is work involved, and this is the link to that work.
So the dependency, right, the one you have, Tony, let's say, I think that we need a cross-reference of the way how dependency take it, the depending on the top, and you have dependency. On the dependency, right, we cross-reference, we can ask Shankar, right, for the SON use case, put a dependency, link our number to the SON use case. So now we'll resolve this issue. Just use by in the SON use case, put our requirement zero ticket to the SON use case. That's it.
And I think that's what Michaela pointed out and Ben chased down to find the gyra that was actually a placeholder. This gyra was a placeholder for the impacts on the CCSDK to support any enhancements to CMPS in the R7 timeframe.
Right.
So that is the description of the work that the SON use case has on the CMPS. And I think we should refer to it and say, this is work that's coming to us. But it's not work that we're bringing on ourselves. It's just work that is coming as a result of enhancements to the SON use case. And we are aware of it, because I think they want to know that too.
Did I get that right? I'm not sure I got that right. Let's see. Okay, so just add this in here. CSDK 222. Oh, this is the SON. I see. This is the SON. We needed the we needed the 327 is what we needed here. Okay. All right, let's see. We're at time, guys. So I think this is a very productive meeting. We went over the slides that we'll be presenting next week. So again, on June 11, if you can plan to attend the TSC, that would be good. we are due to go probably within the first hour, and the 5G call will be delayed by pushed out by half an hour for that week. We will also basically went over the content of the slides and the agenda and stuff, and then again, to hit M0, we need to clarify some stuff here, notably the CCSTA 3292 stuff. But basically, I think we're good. We've answered pretty much all of Catherine's questions here. I think we might need to create user stories, though. This isn't done yet. So Tony, did you want to? Actually, I'm going to try to meet with David McBride to make sure I create user stories properly. But you can also create them too. But we do need to do this though. So we need to create sub stories for each of the things that we have as code impact. But we can take that offline because we're already over time. Okay. All right. I'll upload the recording and slides from today on this page as well. And I'll let you get onto your next meetings. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Stay safe.
Thank you.
Bye.